Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan here with us in Studio 3 for Open Mic is Globe columnist Alex Beam. And as you know, Marjorie and I were discussing this yet again this morning. We'd call him Beam even if it weren't his birth name. Why was that, Marjorie? Because he is like a sunbeam toaster. I'm not done yet. What a toaster is to bread, Alex is to the blank page. Put a piece of white paper in Alex's hands and out comes something searing and oftentimes crusty. I don't think I could have said it better myself. In fact, I did say it myself.
That's just brilliant, Jim, and kudos to your amazing writing staff.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Alex Beam. Good to see you.
Thank you, sir. You don't say that with the least bit of sense.
No, I was very excited to see you. You are wearing the exact same sweater you wore two appearances ago, though, I should say.
Really? How observant you are.
But I've upgraded my whole look.
But you look good in it. You do.
Thank you very much.
It's sort of an orangey turtleneck there underneath the sweater.
You know, this is a
mock turtle.
It's from the remainder bin. This color is always remaindered.
Burnt orange.
Alex, do you remember this is not one of our topics, but since Marjorie mentioned your, what is it called, faux turtle? What's that thing called?
Mock turtle.
Mock turtle. Do you remember the Dickie from your youth? Do you remember what a Dickie was?
I know what it is. It's the weirdest word in the world.
I know it is.
And I do know what it is.
Could you describe what it was for the, let's say, the 20-somethings who don't know?
Did you wear them? Because,
yes, I did. Okay, I'll tell what it is.
Okay, I don't know. Dickies just were so weird.
A Dickie was a little mock turtle top. Like, it looked like a turtleneck thing. And what it was attached to, which no one could see under your shirt or sweater, was a bib-like thing.
Yeah.
So it appeared like you had a turtleneck shirt on underneath your shirt. But what you had was, what was it called again, please?
A Dickie.
A Dickie.
But you know what it's really analogous to? You know, the only people who wear that now are priests and clerics. Because that's the way the clerical collar, it comes down here. So it's raised here and has white. So it's a man's V-neck, but it's really just a Dickie.
I did not
know that.
Yeah. That's my least favorite word in the world.
Why don't they just attach it to their shirt? It would be so much more regular.
And women would never get involved with something like a Dickie.
No. Well, actually, I think they were popular for women, too, when I was a kid. Yes,
yikes.
I think girls wore
very
Dickies,
disappointed
too.
To hear that.
That is a full mock turtle. That is not a Dickie you're wearing, correct? The orange thing?
No, this is a legitimately remainder. This color is coral, by the way.
I'm sorry.
And it's fraying. I have a rule that's when my shirts start to fray, I have to throw them out. But I really like this because it's always half price because they make these and then no one buys them. And
perfect.
For half price. Yeah, exactly.
For good reasons.
So, Alex, you probably have written about this, but we were just talking about before you got here, why Americans don't protest much anymore. Like the Europeans are always out in the street protesting. If somebody wants to, you know, take 6 months off their retirement, their early retirement, if they're in the public, working for the public sector, of course, the Egyptians, I mean, the famous Arab Spring. What's wrong with us?
What's wrong? I was listening to the show. I don't know. You've already had ample input, haven't you? I mean, oddly, I bet everybody among the three of us probably did protest, right?
Yeah.
Like, even I
covered them.
A long time ago.
Against everything.
What was the last protest you were at?
Oh, that's Jesus. Wow. I mean, I remember I campaigned for McCarthy, right? Like, everybody campaigned for McCarthy. I don't know. Protests, that's a good question. But, you know, because the stupid Globe where I worked for 88 years wouldn't allow you to take a stand on anything. So
Wait, even as a columnist?
Absolutely as a columnist.
Well, yeah,
can't go to things.
But you know what was always great about that? They'll give you a great excuse when someone wanted you to donate money to some
or
cause.
To sign a petition
or
something.
I can't do it. I'm a reporter.
Yes. And all those walks that you mentioned earlier, I begged off most.
But why, assuming you agree with us that we're right, that the political protest is the aberration in 2013, 2014, why is that?
You know, I actually respectfully don't agree. I heard you got some good churn, you know, just before I came on. I mean, it's weird. I didn't hear anybody mention something that I have only the vaguest recollection of. But Lessig, of all people, would know. Don't you remember when they proposed two analogous bills with really strange acronyms that were going to have a sort of a deleterious effect on the internet? There was this amazing protest, admittedly an online protest, and those two bills were withdrawn.
No, that doesn't count. You didn't hear the beginning of the
session. Doesn't count.
My view is writing a check, sending an email, engaging, and by the way, it's perfectly fine because, as we know, Arab Spring, in huge part, was a social media created thing. But people hit the streets. I'm talking about I should have said it this
physical way,
where you actually inconvenience yourself to participate in something that, and with all due respect, engaging in an internet protest
or
is not a huge inconvenience. You'd be sitting in your underwear on your couch doing it. So, I mean,
remember the Seabrook nuclear power plant protests? Those were huge.
Yeah. I had a baton beating up protesters. Just a joke,
nice.
Of course. Anti-nuclear really wasn't my issue. I don't know. I don't know when the last time I got off the couch frankly.
What would get you off the couch? Assuming the Globe didn't say to you, you may not participate.
I would eagerly, my memory is incredibly faulty, but I would eagerly work for any politician in America, Democrat or Republican. I really believe in the people who put themselves on the line. And I've worked, you know, locally. I've done, you know, I would distribute stuff. I would do that because I guess I'm a completely upside down person. I heard what Lessig said, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think it takes, you know, a lot of stamina, a lot of courage, a lot of extroversion, a lot of self-confidence to run for office in America. And I would get off my ass and have, I think, to be fair, gotten off my ass to work for people who are willing to go into politics.
How could you do that as a columnist and reporter for the Globe?
Please don't tell them.
Exactly.
You know, you're sneaky? You're sneaky about it?
I have two names, conveniently. You know, my name isn't Alex Beam. Unbelievable. So that works
we would
for
call
me.
You – no, he said yeah. that
so you've done it under your assumed name.
I do it under my assumed
now,
name.
Now, Alex, yes. You wrote a rather odd column that was
I loved
in the
it.
Paper today.
It
Thank
was called,
you, Marjorie. There's
I
nothing
did.
Odd about it.
It was the Bard or the Broncos. Explain to people what your dilemma, your conundrum was, I guess.
Yeah, well, it really hit me. I guess Sunday this past I like the Patriots. I'm really into the Patriots. I think this is an interesting run, blah, 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 blah. I couldn't believe that, first of all, they had, you know, Saturday at 8:15 was an outrageous time to watch a playoff game.
When they
game.
Played the Colts last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, because my 12-year-old was up till, like, my 12-year-old nephew was up till, like, midnight. That was hard. And then they announced this 3 p.m., Sunday 3 p.m. I don't know. I get it. It's all about the West Coast, blah, 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 blah. Incredibly, I've been waiting months. I once saw this famous Shakespearean actor named Mark Rylance in a production, which frankly many of your listeners probably saw, called Jerusalem. It was in both London and New York. It was an amazing contemporary British play. Rylance is a really big deal. Rylance has rewritten Shakespeare. He's a really big deal. He's a great, great actor. Anyway, my friend, who works at an incredibly influential publication, the name of which we can't divulge, got me and my wife tickets to see Richard III, 12th night,
New York
Sunday
Times?
At 3 p.m. No, Vanity Fair, because they have actual
Ooh,
clout.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Richard III, Sunday at 3. I mean, like, it's a complete nightmare for me. And I'm not, to use the euphemism, an iPhone bleep. I obviously won't say that yet. But I just got
Wait a
an
minute. Richard III, I thought it was 12th night.
I misspoke.
Oh.
They're going, they're in repertory, Richard III
oh,
and 12th
okay.
night, with Rylance.
So what are you seeing?
I'm seeing 12th night.
Okay.
So the dilemma for you, just so the people are clear, you had tickets for 12th night at the exact same time that this historic matchup between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and others will happen out there in Denver. And you made what choice, as you disclosed in the column, and why?
Well, I'm not saying I feel really good about it. I'm going to New York, where mm-hmm. my wife lives and works, mm-hmm. and I'm going to see Rylance, and actually it won't be you have to get there at 2:30. I got a lot of feedback from readers. A lot of Globe readers have actually seen this show. You have to get there at 2:30 because they start arranging the stage in the manner of the old Globe Theater. Da 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 da.
Neat.
Yeah, I'm kind of psyched. It's going to be great. As I wrote in the column, I have this really weird love affair with Twelfth Night, which I've never seen, because it's mentioned in Shakespeare
yes,
in Love.
Yes, and your great line when you talk about the beautiful closing scene in Shakespeare in Love with Gwyneth Paltrow as Viola.
I went
walking
back and
down the beach.
Oh, it blew my mind.
It's beautiful.
It's so romantically
oh, it's
done
great.
In that movie, which is such a great
I love that movie.
Did you say you love this column?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Now, let me explain.
That's why I admire
let
you.
Let me explain
I thought
a couple
so,
of
too,
things
by
here.
The way. But,
oh,
but,
don't
let
you
me
remember
explain.
That last scene in Shakespeare in Love? If people haven't seen Shakespeare in Love,
they
I
should
mean,
go,
it's just the
most
best.
People have seen it.
Yeah, they
I
have.
So.
Now, here it won the Academy Award. Now, listen
it
to this
did?
For a second. Yeah, it did.
Oh.
And here, listen
yeah,
to this.
You know.
Listen to this reasoning. My thinking, and this is Alex Beam writing. I've seen the Tom Brady-Peyton Manning matchup before, but I've never seen 12th Night. And then it goes on. But you are aware that 12th Night will probably be played again. You know that. And Manning versus Brady 15 will not happen again.
You're just a Philistine, okay?
Do you understand
and that's
that?
Really being revealed.
I'm not done yet. Now, let me explain to you.
I can't believe that.
What Alex
You
does,
didn't even hear of Mark Rylance before I walked in the door.
Of course I
Admit
haven't.
It.
I still haven't heard of him.
Yeah,
now,
okay,
let me explain
fine,
something
exactly.
else to you. What Alex does is takes this issue, this Hobson's Choice, as he says, you know, between the Patriots and 12th Night, and gives other examples. And he does not miss another opportunity, even though we're kind enough to invite him here every Tuesday to do the following. Here's another one. For instance, number one, to A, watch Downton Abbey, or B, show up for my regularly scheduled colonoscopy? Now, and by the way, as you probably know, if you heard him last week,
so many of my readers were happy to hear me weigh in on that.
It's only the biggest public television show ever, so let's decide
exactly.
Who knows what they're talking
about. And we do nothing
about.
But shout hosannas and praises to it here.
Why
in
don't
the
you
studio.
Read number three? I can't yeah, you do quite it good. See Alex celebrating the pagan drum circle at sunset on the beach someplace in Florida, swilling beer and pounding on an empty
That's
soup
the
pot.
Price I pay for a free ride to Peckerwood Alley. This guy has a bungalow that's like three blocks off the beach, and he loves to go to this drum circle. There's actually, it's a pretty big deal on the Gulf Coast of Florida.
Is that like a man thing, or what is that?
It's a boy-girl thing, but all superannuated hippies, all your pot crowd, by the way, the subject you're so eager to discuss. It's all these like super gray-haired, weird people who got left out of the California thing, so they had to drift to the Gulf Coast of Florida.
And what do they do? Go out in the forest somewhere?
Like No, it's on the beach.
It's at
sunset. Some women take their clothes off.
If
you can believe it.
Wow.
And by the way, you didn't mention what the choice was. It was either celebrate the pagan drum circle in Florida, or what was the alternative that he had to deal with?
The choice was to go hear at Yale Divinity School professor Peter Hawken expatiate?
Yeah.
Who knows what that means?
On the Psalms and their literary afterlife at the Trinity Church.
The only reason I put that in there was because I kind of wanted to make fun of the Episcopalians who will like have something in their basement and then call it an undercroft. I mean, are you joking? I mean, it's in the basement, okay?
So you got,
I got the word undercroft into the Boston.
I know, I didn't know what that
undercroft.
Meant either.
Of course.
Nobody knows
what that means.
Let me just, again, Bard versus the Broncos. What time do you have to be at the theater?
3 p.m.
So
exactly,
game starts at 3. Will you be watching? This is the true test of where his heart is. Will you be watching any of the pregame festivities before you go to the theater?
I hate pregame, and I was about to bore the world with. I mean, I just got a smartphone. I hate it. I'm not even going to bring my smartphone. I will go up to somebody at intermission. Obviously, there'll be a concerned New Englander or Colorado. I'll go up to somebody at intermission and say what the score.
Did you read the
I'm
Herald
not
today?
Watching it either. I'm not watching it either.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Did you read the Herald
today? Is this
today?
A trick question?
No, did you read the Herald today?
Okay, no, I didn't.
Okay, fine.
Shame on you.
Tell him, speaking of the Patriots
Thank
game.
Thank God we're two newspaper towns.
This is
that's
the other
right.
thing
that's
we
what,
want to
that's
mention.
That's what your new owner said.
What's the story about the game and the
story
prominent
is,
story about the
this
game?
This is pretty funny, that Patriot fans are hitting up Denver pot shops before the big game because, of course, marijuana is now legal in Denver. So all these people, they interview this one guy, and you have to give them your ID, of course. That's how the shop owner knows, the pot shop owner. He said, we've had at least 45 people so far, and almost all of them were there to see the Patriots game. But there's an upside. They think that the cannabis will help keep things under control, happy and calm, and less violent at the stadium at
Mile
High.
I read that story, thanks to your crack staff, which provided it to me. And let me say, by the way, that story is a lot better than the analogous story that ran in the Boston Globe.
Which was what?
The Globe did the same story in a much, much weaker version. So that was hilarious that the Herald picked up this angle that everyone's going to mellow out.
Tabloid.
The feisty tabloid. That was a much better story.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely great. So I guess people get out there early so they could go into the store and buy.
But there's no reefer allowed in the inappropriately named Mile High Stadium. Alas.
Mile High Stadium. That's right. But apparently they don't really crack down on it in a big time kind of way. And also you could just buy the pot and eat your brownies at the stadium.
I guess you've got this.
Can we stay on the subject of marijuana?
22% grass tax out there on the marijuana. So the state is taking a big chunk of the money.
Well, New Hampshire's proposing 30%.
Well, not only proposing, the House of Representatives in New Hampshire, despite the fact that the governor said she would veto it, the House of Representatives, I think yesterday or the day before, passed a legalization, not decriminalization, legalization of marijuana bill. $30 an ounce tax would go to the state, by the way, which was a big thing. The reason we wanted to talk to you about this was not so much whether you're for or against legalization, even though you can speak to that. Joan Vinaki took issue with another story, a quote in a story that was in the Globe the other day. They were talking about how young voters are abandoning Barack Obama in droves, huge numbers. Well, they are.
Whatever.
And Ted Devine, who's a Democratic strategist, is quoted, and Joan quotes him a second time, saying legalization of marijuana is going to become an issue. I believe it's an issue that will absolutely activate a voter base of young people in particular. She takes issue with that.
That's a terrific column, by the way. That's Joan at her crotchety best.
It's today. It's smoke signals from the Democrats.
It's really worth reading.
Do you agree with her take that it's ridiculous to think that that's what's going to bring young voters out to embrace the Democrats?
I mean, present company, you know that I have the highest regard. That column is great edge. I just like the fact that she's being really nasty and calling out these Democratic hypocrites.
So you agree with her?
I do agree with her. And I think that poll quote is fascinating.
If Democrats need pot to get out the youth vote, they really do have something to worry about.
Yeah, know? I sort of salute her for saying that. I think a younger columnist might not have written that. I think she makes a really great argument that it's just a cynical vote grab. And in her opinion, I don't know, you should phone her, frankly. She probably thinks it's, just not a good idea.
But wait a second. It's not just about young voters. The point that I think both Tad Devine missed, and I think you're missing as well, is the appeal of this as an issue for Democrats, assuming they embrace it, is it has huge appeal to a broader stretch of the electorate, which is a huge number of people and a growing number of people are libertarian-leaning. Maybe not Rand and Ron Paul libertarian, but most people I know are developing a libertarian streak, even if they're liberals or conservatives. That's why I think this marijuana legalization has a huge, huge appeal.
Well, we'll see if you're right. I don't know if you're right.
Was that cutting edge too or not?
No, because you don't have the verbal abilities of a Boston Globe columnist, with all due respect.
That's okay.
Anybody can run their mouth on the radio.
They
can.
But
on a serious note, I mean,
not everybody actually.
Touche. I like that. You're a feisty lady yourself.
Okay.
Fine. All right. What's your point?
You know what's interesting is that this gay marriage, a couple of other issues that aren't, state organized health care. What's darned in Vermont, Massachusetts, and now, what's darned interesting is that we're going to see. We don't have to hypothesize about the legalization of marijuana. We have a purple state, Colorado, with an interesting we'll just see. We'll have, Maggie Hassan.
We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. And in Massachusetts, Vermont, I mean, we're seeing how state organized health care plays out. So rather than say, oh, it's not working, oh, it's a disaster, let's see. I mean, and that's genuinely interesting.
Let's see, what is it that you expect to see in Colorado or Washington State, which obviously are the only two where voters have approved the legalization of marijuana? What do you expect to see that would convince an open-minded person? I don't mean somebody's in the tank to either side to say, oh, I was open-minded, but now this is a bad idea. What's going to happen?
Well, first of all, that's a great question. Second of all, suppose like crapola street crime declined.
That would be great.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
But I'm saying, what is the possible bad thing
addicts. More addicts. Isn't that the bad thing?
I really feel an open-minded person would say it could go either way. My kid dropped out of high school because he was earning money fixing cars, and he spent all the money smoking legal pot, and he's a wreck. I mean, I don't know. That's a bad story for a parent.
Of course it is. I
think it's going to be very similar to gay marriage. I think what's going to happen is virtually nothing, except that Colorado is going to be making a lot of money, tax revenues in this, and that there may be some slight increase in people. I just don't think that illegality is what prevents people who want to smoke pot from smoking pot.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm with you on the laboratory aspect, and that's why I mentioned gay marriage, about which it's very easy to have a strong I mean, let's see. I mean, we've lived in this state for 10 years.
I think that's what'll happen.
Okay,
right? I think that's
we
got to
go.
Be
Can
the
you
argument.
Do me one favor? Could you email me? No, I'm serious. Could you email me after the pagan drum circle and tell me what it was like?
I'll send you a photograph.
A photograph. That's what I was hoping for, my friend. Thank you.
I'll be shirtless, so you might not want to print that photograph.
I don't need that picture.
Is that the experience of topless beaches? The people you want to see in the topless beaches are never there.
Exactly. It's the Alex Beams, not the Marjorie Egan's.
It's a pleasure, as always.
Stay in school, you two.
Absolutely.
All right.
Alex Beam joins us every Thursday. We love to talk to Alex Beam. Up next, we love to talk to Kara Miller. She's going to tell us about innovation hubs are not just Silicon Valley and over in Kendall Square. They are popping up all around the world. Kara Miller up next on 89.7 WGBH Boston Public Radio.